Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach on Camera, LOBOC. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And our engineer is?
David Yes.
Okay. See, not only do I have trouble with his name, he has trouble with his name. And today, we're going to be talking about something viral related. But before we even talk about that, I want to point out that we couldn't do Lying on the Beach without our beloved sponsor, The Handle Stick. And we will be telling you more about this amazing product a little bit later on in this podcast. But first up, with the COVID-19 virus raging across the country, we've all heard about the symptoms of the virus, including shortness of breath and fever and whatnot. But even if you don't have the virus, there are physical and mental symptoms of just living through a pandemic. And one of those, for example, are skin rashes and things along those lines. And that's where we have our next guest. He is an amazing dermatologist. His name is Dr. Steve Mandy, and he's joining us right now. He's a highly respected dermatologist on Miami Beach. Steve is a diplomat of the American Board of Dermatology, a founding member and past president of the Florida Society of Dermatologic Surgeons, and he's also a volunteer professor of dermatology at University of Miami. Steve, welcome to Lying on the Beach. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to be here.
I have to ask, is this something that's real or in our heads? I've talked to several people, including people in this podcast, who have developed unusual rashes because of staying at home for 4 months. You'd think staying at home, we would be pristine. There's no sun touching us. We're inside. You know, we should be looking 10 years younger. And instead, we're getting, you know, weird little rashes on feet and back of knees and stuff like that. Why is that? And or is this just imaginary?
No, I think there's a variety of things that are pertinent to the whole story. First of all, COVID itself has a whole slew of dermatological manifestations, which we can address later. Interesting when you talk about COVID and you know, there's sort of a, as one person put to me, your whole life is put into parentheses. All of a sudden,
yeah,
none of us have an end to this story. We're all sort of wrapped up in it. We're consumed by it, but we have no exit strategy. And that in and of itself creates an enormous amount of anxiety. So any what we call psychodermatoses, and I don't mean to imply that people are crazy if they have these rashes, but dermatoses that are aggravated by anxiety are going to be worse during this period of time. So there's a whole phenomenon of things we call neurodermatitis. And so that's a complicated... Go ahead.
So it really is something that we're self-creating, or is it really something that's happening from just doing nothing?
A little bit of both. First of all, we're all inside, so we're exposed to prolonged, perhaps, air conditioning, also less humidity, ambient humidity that you might get if you were out and about. We're not getting the sun that we normally get, even to the degree that if you're inside all the time without any sun, you can get a low vitamin D level if you're not supplementing with vitamin D, which is important. And the other thing is that we think we all have sort of relaxed our normal hygiene routines. And I say hygiene, I don't mean washing our hands, but we're a little more lackadaisical about our general maintenance of function. Okay. So whether it's not getting your hair done or taking a shower less frequently because you're not working out, you're not exercising, all of those things have an impact on how the skin responds. For instance, many people, especially as you get older, require moisturization of the skin because we reduce oil production and innate oil production as we age. So if you're not tending to yourself in the same sort of ways that we normally would, you wouldn't be putting on moisturizer every day, that sort of thing. So there are many things like that influence how we respond with sort of rashes and vague skin symptoms, dryness and itching. One of the most common things I'm seeing in my office that's related are mask-related rashes. And that's common because patients, anyone who has mild seborrheic dermatitis, which is often manifest in your normal world as, say, dandruff, will get a rash on their face if their face isn't washed regularly or if it's increased in its humidity underneath of a mask. That increases oil production, that increases the growth of the bacteria. Actually, it's a yeast that causes seborrheic dermatitis. And I've had quite a few patients come in with just a rash limited to the central face where they've been wearing their mask all the time. So all of that is not caused by COVID, but a consequence of the COVID isolation.
Steve, a friend of mine called yesterday and she told me that she saw a rash on her face and she ignored it because she thought it was from the mask. And finally she woke up and she saw it creeping up close to her eye. And she went to the dermatologist, she's in New York City, and she's got shingles. Now, yeah,
that would only be on one side of her face.
Huh? Yeah.
It wouldn't be on two sides.
Yeah. So is that related in any way or is that totally different?
Well, shingles is a viral infection of the nerve. And it's the same virus that causes chickenpox.
Right.
And when you've had chickenpox or you've had the chickenpox vaccine, you have partial immunity to that virus. The problem is that the virus, when it goes away, doesn't leave your body 100%. A small amount of it remains in your nervous system and it's dormant. But under stress and for other reasons, like say a fever or whatever, the virus can reemerge. But because you have partial immunity, it can't go all over your body like chickenpox. So it only manages to manifest itself in a single nerve fiber, which is why it's on one side of the face or the body and in a limited area. So it's a disease that is a real disease, but again, stress can bring it on. And I've seen a more frequent number of shingle patients in the past month or two than I have in a while.
So it is somewhat related about having to stay in more than usual.
Yeah. And what's really unusual is the fact that many patients have had the Shingrix vaccine, which supposedly protects you. And I've had patients who've shown up with shingles having had the vaccine. So, you know, it's not a perfect vaccine. And that's another problem with COVID.
Right. A friend mentioned to me that some people, because they're staying in so much, their immune system is actually dipping a little bit. And so bacteria and whatnot that does get on your skin can grab hold a little bit easier. Is there any truth to that or is that just nonsense?
One of the things that I've seen a lot of discussion in the medical community about is the fact that frequent exercise it boosts your immune system. And the fact that gyms have been closed and people have, you know, been staying inside and have been avoiding the kind of social activities like playing tennis and so forth that they might normally take, that may very well, in fact, lower your immune response to some degree.
So it's some reality to that. It may be true happening.
I haven't seen any studies where they're actually measuring your immune globulins during this as opposed to other times. But that's the proposed mechanism that I've seen written about in the medical literature.
So Dr. Mandy, what should people do? I mean, nobody even covered this topic. I think we're going to have a real scoop here. What should people, I'm serious because I read everything, right, Steve? You and I read everything, Steve Greenberg.
Right.
And so this would be really great if this, gets out a lot. What do you recommend? This is free advice from the greatest dermatologist in the world. What should people do? I'm the PR person. Let me tell you who you are. That's who you are. No. So what should people do in terms of staying at home? We never even thought about this.
I can tell you one that I think is important. I think it's very important to try to maintain as much as you can your normal routines. Okay. So don't abandon your hygiene in the sense that men shouldn't stop shaving, or if they don't shave, they should stop grooming their beard instead of grooming their beard. And women, if they can, try to maintain their hair color or whatever. because all of those things tend to make a psychologically well-balanced person. Those are things we self-indulge with, don't we? I mean, that's sort of part of what we do to make ourselves feel good. And if you abandon those things, you begin to lose some of the perspective, if you wish, about how you feel about yourself and how you take care of yourself. And then some of these other things that we were talking about, like yeast infections and so forth, have the opportunity to occur.
And I think while we're on this thing, let's shift a little bit to people who do have the virus. So we've heard about the shortness of breath, we've heard about the fever, and I've heard diarrhea and whatnot, but there's also a skin related fact, you know, that you can see a rash first and then find out that you're testing positive.
Yeah, there's a number of skin specific rashes that have shown up with COVID. One of them that's gotten the most attention, although it's not as common as some of the other rashes, are what they call chilblains. Chilblains is the kind of thing you get with frostbite, where the tips of the fingers or the tips of the toes become almost purplish in color, and like you would have with frostbite. And then they can blister, and they can even peel and so forth. And this has shown up a lot, and it turns out to be a function of the virus attacking the vascular system and causing vascular occlusion or decreased circulation in the extremities. And the further away from the heart, the more it's manifest. So fingers and toes are where that happens. And it's a now a recognized diagnostic sign of COVID. And interestingly, in some patients, it's the first sign of their disease. They don't have a cough, they don't have a fever, and they come to the ER with what looks like frostbite in the summertime. So that's wow. It's unusual. There's another. Go ahead.
I have a brother who had and I forgot what he ended up, but he had a rash on his feet. That was a pretty, you know, really unusual rash, and he thought for sure it was COVID related, but he also had it in his mouth.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was going to say. There's another, many viral rashes. You all heard of hand, foot, mouth disease.
That's a
childhood viral disease, and it affects the oral mucosa and the hands and the feet. And measles-like rash is another common thing we see with COVID, and that's very typical of viral infections. In fact, when we see a patient who we know has either had measles vaccine or had measles, and they come in with a rash that looks like measles, it's usually a viral infection, although drug rashes can also show up that way. The other thing is, of course, there are things like drug rashes that are partly a function also of this whole anxiety world that we're living in. People are taking more medications and self-medicating, and many people get allergic reactions to the things that they're taking. So that's another issue.
Are a lot of people calling you up? Do you see an increase in your practice? I mean, just for what?
No, surprisingly not. And I think, Lois, it's a lot to do with people being afraid to go out.
They're afraid to
sit in a waiting room with other patients. Although what we've done has been very careful. We schedule patients so that there are no patients in waiting rooms. But the bottom line is that people are sort of restrained in their social and inner world interactions. So that's part of the problem with staying home, you know. And so actually, I've seen a sort of a decrease in the practice, even though they're very available, you know.
I think there's more self-medicating.
Are you nervous about going out every day? You're going to your practice every day.
You know, most doctors have become pretty aware of infectious disease since from the time you're in medical school. So we take a great deal of precaution that many patients don't even watch us do. You know, and I'm wearing a mask with every patient I see. We change gloves with every patient we touch or get engaged with. Before the patient is seen, their temperature is taken electronically. So, you know, I don't think I'm dealing with terribly sick people. And if I'm dealing with only a mild patient exposure, if I'm not in their face and they're wearing a mask and I'm wearing a mask, the risk of transmission is actually very small.
Wow, that's very interesting. Because, you know,
and all the patients are given masks when they come in the office if they don't have one on.
Right. That's very interesting.
When it gets nervous is when they have to take the mask off to show me something on their mouth or in their mouth or around the lips.
Well, that you have to be protected from that as well.
Yeah, and then I'll put on an N95 mask instead of a regular surgical mask.
Okay, Steve, you have to do our sponsor.
Well, you know, you can't talk about a rash without talking about a rash of interest in our sponsor, and that's our sponsor here is the Handle Stick, and this is the must-have phone accessory. Lois will demonstrate it right there. You can see you attach it to either directly to your phone or to your favorite phone case, and then you can make it into a kickstand so your phone can stick up, either horizontally or vertically. Plus, it's a great way of holding onto the phone. Show you how you hold onto the phone with it. You just put your fingers right through there, so it really stays on you, so it's like almost like hands-free use. It's definitely a must-have, and now they actually can have it so you can take your business logo or your face or your dog's face and put it right there, so you can have the things you love, your favorite team, whatnot, right there on your Handle Stick. And this is what it looks like. It comes in 40-plus different styles and colors, plus you can do this customization we just mentioned. The Handle Stick, you can check it out at www.handle, that's H-A-N-D-L, New York, newyork.com. And David, tell us what makes this so amazing. Why is the Handle Stick so incredible? Because
it's only David, $10.
That's right, it's only $10. So that's crazy. You gotta look into the Handle Stick. So they're our sponsor. Of course, we love them so much because they sponsor Lying on the Beach on Camera. Now, getting back to Steve, Mandy over there. Steve, we appreciate your help. Do we have any follow-up questions that we have for Steve, Lois?
Yes, I want to know, Steve, when people are calling you now, I want to, you know, scratch his brain a little bit. What are they asking mostly about? Or is it still, or are people taking advantage of this time to have a facelift or a neck? Or, you know, what's happening in your world during this particular time?
When we first opened up, after being closed 2 months, in middle of May, we opened up. Everybody who hadn't had Botox in 4 months was standing up, literally. I mean, that was number one. And I've just seen data across the country that that's the number one requested procedure. And it's also the one the doctors feel most comfortable with because it's the least kind of interventional, thing that we can do. So that's very high on the list. As you've already alluded and we've talked about, I've had all sorts of strange rashes and so forth. And of course, there are lots of patients who have ongoing skin problems, whether it's psoriasis or eczema or other problems like that, that have sort of been avoiding or not having access to medical care for 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
They're all fired up. It's all started to quiet down. Of course, part of that is Miami because it's summertime and many people go off to the Hamptons or the mountains somewhere else in North Carolina or Colorado or whatever. So it's a little quieter right now than normal, but that's typical of Miami. Yeah.
Steve, also, a lot of women have asked me, when can we go back and get facials? I mean, I'm worried about like I'm walking around with blackheads all over the place.
You know, there's one way to avoid that is by using Retin-A or some similar retinol product because that will make blackheads go away. But in terms of facials, I think you have to look at risk-reward ratio. You know, you go to a salon, if the salon is very well maintained, high-end, the people in it are exercising caution with their masks and gloves and all that sort of thing, and you feel comfortable there and it's not crowded, you have a reasonable degree of safety, but you're taking a chance. And it's the same question with restaurants that when we opened up restaurants in Miami about 3-4 weeks ago, I said, okay, I think I'm safe to go out to an outdoor restaurant because there's much less transmission outside and so forth. But then now when you look at the rise of the young cases in Miami, where initially most of the cases were in the 60s and older, now you're seeing cases from 20 to 40, and you have to ask yourself, who's my waiter? And what's and how careful is my waiter? Does he change gloves frequently? Does he, if he's outside and it's hot, is he wiping his brow with his gloved hand and then serving you dinner? All those types of things are things you have to think about if you want to go to a salon or a massage parlor or any one of those other activities, because you are taking a risk.
So Steve, Dr. Mandy.
It's okay, you can call me Steve.
No, I know, but you're my doctor, so I want to call you Dr. Mandy. I know that you're not a futurist and you're not clairvoyant, or maybe you are. What do you tell yourself is the future for all of us? What do you think is going to happen, knowing about the vaccine and about the way people behave and the economy and politics and just, you know, what we're facing in terms of challenges that nobody, what's going to be?
Well, like you, Lois, I'm a very avid reader. I'm also an investor in various enterprises that, you know, financially that I pay careful attention to and ask myself the same question. What is the impact of this? I think the impact is very clear. If we have a vaccine in the immediate future, it won't be now or in the fall. I think we're not going to see a vaccine at the very earliest until late winter, beginning of spring. And if we have a vaccine, will people use it? And it's hard to answer the question, because if everybody wore a mask, this wouldn't have taken off to the degree that it has, right?
Yes.
So if we can't get people to wear a mask, how the hell are we going to get them to go to the doctor and get a needle? And then there's the whole group of people who are anti-vaccine people who say, oh, no, that's going to cause this and that and the other thing, and I don't want to trust it, and I don't believe the data. And, you know, we have really become anti-science in this country, much more so than they have in the Far East or in Europe. And
so, 46, just a study on ABC News, literally maybe 11 minutes ago, they were saying that 46% of Americans say, without knowing anything, they're not going to take the vaccine. They haven't heard anything about it. We don't know anything about it. They've already said no to it, which is like crazy.
To me, the thing that scares me before is that unless we get a 60% number, basically, of the population that has either acquired immunity by having had the infection or is vaccinated, we're not going to get this virus to go away. Mm-hmm. And this virus could circulate. You know, there were plagues in Europe during the medieval times that lasted for 5, 6, 10 years and killed lots of people. And I'm old enough, and I think Lois is almost old enough, to remember polio and what a horror that was year after year after year.
Absolutely.
It would, you know, kill or maim 15,000-20,000 kids in the United States. So I think the number one, I think in answer to your question, Lois, this virus is not going to be gone anytime soon. We're going to deal with this virus for at least the next year. Secondly, that has got to have a resounding economic impact on this country. And how well we'll weather it. We weathered World War II. We weathered, you know, the pandemic of 1918 flu. We'll survive, but life will be constrained. And the biggest thing that worries me is how will we socially interact? I think man's natural inclination is to be social, but this has put a damper on a lot of things. Being a single person and, you know, wanting to engage in dating and such, all of a sudden, that doesn't sound like such a great idea. And I think all of those things, how this will affect people sexually and all those other ways, this is not going to go away, and it's going to have a big impact.
It's awful. It's awful. But also, it worries me that there's this rejection of science in America that doesn't even make sense. But, you know, we've spent so much time, you know, respecting science, got a man to the, you know, men to the moon and whatnot, and we have all this respect for science and medicine and whatnot, and all of a sudden the country's turning on science, which doesn't make any sense at all. And that is, this is what you see.
Incredible, because they're using the science of social media, which is so highly technical and computerized, to deny science, which is, you know, the very tool with which they're using, they're denying. That's how crazy it is.
It's definitely sad. Anything, any other follow-ups? Are we good?
No, we are running out of time. That's a wrap.
Okay, so once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And our engineer,
David Nieves.
And our special guest, Dr. Steve and Mandy. Thank you all for joining us. And we have all been lying on the beach. Take care. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Wear a mask. Bye.
No sex.